Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Kuf Beis. Here we are in the 12th parak of the Masechta, and a parak dedicated exclusively to the mitzvah of Chalitza. And I call it a mitzvah because the Mishnah did. So yesterday we opened up with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah's opening words are mitzvah Chalitza b'shlosha. The mitzvah of Chalitza is b'shlosha. So it goes without saying, it's kind of an obvious point I'm going to start off with today. I could have made this point yesterday. But don't walk away from today's daf or yesterday's daf thinking like a mitzvah. Like, in other words, like, this is what I need to do. So obviously, no. In other words, you know, you need to do this. Meaning, first of all, it's circumstantial. And even when the circumstance comes about, so you have Yibum or you have Chalitza. And we know that Yibum is obviously the desired result. In other words, Yibum is what the Torah wants. And Chalitza is just in the event that you don't want it. Okay, now, I go back to Daf Lamites, which we've, you know, that's a touchstone Daf here in the Masechta. On Lamites, the Gemara says that right nowadays, the Gemara is saying this. In other words, Bizman HaGemara. Nowadays, the Gemara says that we don't have enough Kavana. We're not doing Yibum for the right reason. So we prefer Chalitza over Yibum. Okay, in other words, that's because we just simply don't have the requisite Kavana. But clearly, in the context of Yibum, Chalitza, Yibum is preferred over Chalitza. Meaning from a conceptual standpoint. So when the Mishnah yesterday said mitzvahs chalitza, it just simply means here is the procedure for chalitza. Meaning I'm going to give you the rules in terms of how to do chalitza. But the word mitzvah obviously is not to be used in the context that we normally use a mitzvah of, I'm now going to be doing something which is positive, constructive, and this is what the Torah wants from me. Okay. Similar to, meaning, I guess you could file this under the same category of issuing a get. Meaning, is issuing a get a mitzvah? Mitzvah is a strong word to describe a get, meaning it's part of the process in the Torah in terms of severing a marriage, and there's a way to do it, and the way to do it is by issuing a get. So, but to call it a mitzvah, that's a strong word to use to describe a get. Okay, is it one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah? I should know the answer to that, right? Okay. Anyway, so Amar Rava. We're doing great. In other words, in terms of where we should be in the daf, we're pretty much where we need to be. We're in Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. We're at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. What did we say yesterday? Chalitza has to be done in front of a basin of. So yesterday we brought down a machlokes tanaim on this issue. So it's either going to be 3 or it's going to be 5. Now, if you say 3, because standard basin is made up of 3, if you say 5, so it could be a function of how to darshan the pasuk, as we discussed yesterday. Anyway, but the Gemara was absolutely clear yesterday. The halacha is 3. We have a stam mishnah that says 3. You need 3. And where we're going to start off today is the halacha is that you need 3, but bring 5. Now, I know. That's, you know, it's funny, but that's exactly what we're going to start off today. But before we get there, so first of all, an interesting halacha, and that is kviyas hamakom. You have to establish a place in which you're going to do it. So in other words, there needs to be an announcement, a pronouncement that we're going to be doing chalitza in that place. That doesn't matter where the place is, but you have to be kovei hamakom. You have to establish where it's going to be. So I was not in YU at the time. I think it was after my time anyway, but a chalitza was done at YU and they posted signs up. And they said there's going to be a chalitza. I don't remember exactly what the circumstances were. Anyway, okay, it was done. So kovei hamakom dichtiv alta yivamto ashar al zekeinim. Okay, so the and it's pshat in the pasuk. The she's going to go to the sha'ara. In other words, like I mentioned yesterday, there are only 4 psukim in the Torah that deal with chalitza, this being one of them. So the we went through the 4 psukim in yesterday's daf. So here, the sha'ara is assumed to be a designated place. So Rapapa, Ravuna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, Avde, Uvde, Bechamisha. Okay, now we go back to the number of Dayanim you need. So again, if you were with us yesterday, the conclusion was you need 3. That was yesterday's conclusion. Now the Gemara points out that Rapapa and Ravuna assembled a Beis Din of 5. So the Gemara immediately reacts to that. Come on, Rabbi Yehuda, Vahadurbe. So the Gemara says, yeah, remember how yesterday's daf ended? Rabbi Yehuda retracted from that position. Meaning, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda at one point in time did subscribe to the opinion that you need 5. But then what he did is that he immediately retracted and said, not immediate, but he retracted and he said 3. And now the Amoraim are demanding 5. Well, like, what's happening? So the Gemara's explanation. Lifirsume milsa. Pirsum hamilsa. This is something that needs to be publicized. Now, just as a point of interest, normally when we talk about publicity, so the magic number is 10, right? When Boaz wants to make sure the people know, here's the halacha. So he assembled 10 people. So the number for publicity is generally 10. By Megillah, just rattling off a couple of examples. By Megillah also, in other words, it's part of the Pirsim Aneis, so there's a preference. It's the Gemara Megillah on the very top of Hamad Aleph. The Gemara over there says that as a preference, you should be getting 10. Okay, Rishonim over there discussed the debate whether or not that's a preference, whether that's a requirement. But anyway, normally the number for publicity is 10. Over here, how the number became half of 10, it's 5. I'm not sure. But the point is that I need a Beis Din plus another 2 Dayanim. And that's going to get me to the requisite publicity. Now, why does there need to be publicity when it comes to a Chalitza? So here I'm giving you a guess. I don't know this. So please take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But when it comes to a get being issued, so there's no requirement of publicity by a get. But you do need a Beis Din. Now, by the way, that point that you need a Beis Din by a get is never explicitly stated in the Gemara. The Gemara, when we get to Gittin, over and over again, we're going to be talking about the Edim, the witnesses. We're never going to hear in the Gemara that there's a Beis Din requirement. Okay, but just, unfortunately, I've been at a lot of Gittin. I think everyone here knows, but just in case someone's listening and wondering, like, why is he at so many Gittin? So there happens to be that the head of the Beis Din here in South Florida is a dear friend of mine and a neighbor, I'm called in to be serving either as an aide or as a member of the Beis Din, just to facilitate. Anyway, so nowadays, so there is a Beis Din that's assembled by a get, even though that's not clear in the Gemara. By a chalitza, it is clear in the Gemara. I mean, that's what we're learning between yesterday and today, that you need a Beis Din. So the fact that you need a Beis Din of 3, that's clear. But now this idea that there has to be publicity on top of that, why should that be? So again, I'm guessing, because as opposed to a get where it's actually a document, meaning the whole nature of a get is that it needs to be a document written down, handed from him to her. By chalitza, what is the documentation? And the answer, of course, is there is no documentation. Meaning chalitza is just simply an action that's done. She's going to be taking a shoe off of his foot. She's going to be spitting in his direction. And that's it. And nobody leaves with any kind of documentation. Now, there happens to be a document that's written up afterwards. But the document is not the facilitator. The document is not creating the severance between him and her. What's creating the severance is the actions that she's doing. Okay, so for an action point, again, this is a guess of mine. For an action point, you need more publicity. Okay, anyway. The Gemara follows up immediately with the story. Hey, come over. We're about to do a chalitza, and we would like 5. So Amar Rav Kahana Avakamina Kame de Rav Yehuda Amarli Tasak Lizarze de Kane leads through for Bechamisha. Rav Kahana was in front of Rav Yehuda, and same thing also. Bring over a lawn chair. Okay, sorry. bring over a chair because we need 5 dayanim. So Amarli Lamarli Chamisha. He says 5. 5 is a funny number. So Amarli Huki Hechadul Farsi Milsa. But again, because those extra 2 dayanim are for the purposes of publicity. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda v'kai kamei de Rav Yehuda amar lei sak tal lezarze dekan l'tzeruf bechamisha. Again, another narration, same basic point. Come over, we're going to make a Beis Din of 5 in order to make 4 a publicity. L'fersumei milsa. Amar lei tanina b'Yisrael be'Beis Din Yisrael v'lo be'Beis Din shel gerim. Va'ana gerana. So, who got invited? Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda got invited. So he immediately recused himself, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't participate. Why? Because I'm a ger, and so therefore I cannot be part of this Beis Din."
They didn't know,
huh?
They didn't know.
Right. How did? Or maybe they forgot the halacha. Maybe. Could be. So I'm Rav Yehuda Kagon Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Mafikna Mamona Apume. So Rav Yehuda was so impressed, meaning right, you get called up for. Let's call this a kibbutz, although it's whatever. In other words, he got called up, and he said, "Look, I'm really sorry." In other words, I have to be honest. Oh, so Rav Yehuda was just impressed with the honesty, and the Gemara says, and Rav Yehuda's comment was that, "Look, he's so honest. If he told me that somebody owed money, I'd take money out of his hands and give it to the person as per his instructions. Now that I see how honest he is." So the Gemara over here gets caught up on a technical point, an important technical point. Mafigna sakadacha. What do you mean? Just because he says that somebody owes money, That's not how the process works. In other words, the only time that we're ever going to extract money from one person to another person is with two witnesses, not one witness. So, you're right, correct. Meaning, that's not, I'm so impressed with his honesty that if he challenges a shtar, I'm going to uphold his challenge. Now, exactly what that means. So there's a Rashi over here. There's a Tosfos over here. It happens to be not our main topic. So I'm going to just move. I'm going to move ahead. But in other words, let's just absorb the compliment. And that is that he's a really honest individual. And if he says something, I'm going to like take it very seriously. Okay. So Amarava. Ger dan es chaver dvar Torah. Okay, now, in terms of a ger and his ability to sit on a basin, we just learned together that as far as a basin for chalitza is concerned, so you as a ger, you cannot sit on such a basin, but there are batei dinim that you're allowed to sit on. So, for example, says the Gemara on the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, ger dan es chaver dvar Torah, that a ger can judge another ger. In other words, that's perfectly fine. Rashi over here writes, this is an exciting Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Dina Nefashos, meaning any case, even a capital case. So you can have a ger sitting on the bench of a capital case as long as the defendant is a ger. Okay. This Rashi got Tosfos excited. Tosfos over here tells you to go all the way back to Daf Mem Hei, which I did. I'm not going to go through it right now, but and Tosfos back there says can't be that a ger is going to be sitting on the bench of a capital case, even if the defendant is a ger. It can't be that's a pshat. Anyway, but Rashi says it is. Okay, so dan ger dan is chaver dvar Torah shenemar som tasim alach melech asher yivchar shem lokech abo mikar vachecha tasim alach melech alach udabina mikar vachecha val ger dan is chavero. So when it comes to adjudicating cases of Yisraelim, so you need a Yisrael. Now, admittedly, the pasuk the Gemara is quoting is regarding a king, not regarding a judge. Rashi says in this context the terms are replaceable. Okay. And anyway, the point is as follows: is that when judging a Yisrael, you need a Yisrael to be sitting on the bench. When judging a ger could be sitting on the bench. Okay. So aval ger dan es chaver ger v'im ha'isa imam Yisrael dan afil Yisrael. Now, what exactly are going to be the requirements in order to allow a ger to be judging a Jew? So and that would be that he simply has to have a Jewish mother. Okay,
that makes me Jew.
Okay, good. In other words, excellent point. For a moment, the Gemara would entertain the idea that to be on the bench, so you have to have both parents being Jews. That would be the Havamina, and the Gemara is rejecting that. The Gemara is basically saying that's not necessary. As long as mom is a Jew, so then he's fully qualified to sit on the bench. And here, for reasons that just, I don't have a good explanation, right? I don't have a why, but the what is that to be sitting on the bench of chalitza, there you need to be Jew both on mom and dad's side. Why? So the Gemara says it's a pasuk. Shenemar v'nikra shmo, bi Yisrael. And the bi Yisrael tells me that there's even a further requirement to be sitting on the bench, and that is you have to have both a Jewish mother and a Jewish father. Okay. Amarav, Amarav, Khan Amarav. For basically the remainder of today's daf, so we're going to be talking about the shoe. Okay? She's removing a shoe from his foot. Okay? That's the easy part. That's the clear part. Okay? Where you're going to see me struggle today. Okay? Everyone enjoy. Right? You're going to see me struggle today is define a shoe. Right? What's a shoe? So the first thing is that there's a clear difference between what's a sandal and what's a minnow. Okay, so it happens to be that I think this has not gotten lost in translation. A sandal is a sandal, and a minnow is more like a shoe with an upper. Okay, so and what is preferred? So it's clear that we're favoring the sandal over the minnow. Okay, now why? I'm not sure. It seems, and again, this is where like I'm not sure, so that's why you're going to see me hesitate a little bit. It seems that the sandal is a stronger structural shoe, even though it's open and it's, you know, it's not as closed as what you and I call the shoe, but it seems that way. Okay, whatever the case is, it's more authentic. However it's to be described, there clearly is a preference to the sandal over the minnow. With that stated, so let's say Eliyahu were to come and tell us, look, ladies and gentlemen, the choltem b'minal, that you can go ahead and use the minal. You could use the shoe. Okay, fine. So at that point in time, we'll be like, okay, great. Thank you very much. And now we'll move to using the shoe. Minal, when the Gemara says the word minal, I'm going to use the word shoe. Okay, just. And then, ein choltem b'sandal in shomem lo. But if he tells us, however, that no longer are we to use a sandal, we're just simply going to not going to listen to him. Shekvar nagu am b'sandal, because everyone's using a sandal. And if everyone's using the sandal, so there's something to be said regarding a minhag. Okay, now, you could take what I say and you could take it out of context and really abuse that point. But let's keep everything within the context of our Gemara over here. Since people are using a sandal, it must mean that there's something to that particular minhag. And that's why if Eliyahu would tell us not to use a sandal anymore, we just simply say no. In other words, sandals, there's something to be said about sandals considering the fact that everyone's using a sandal. Okay, now, the obvious point of interest over here is Eliyahu is coming in and telling us what to do, what not to do. Is he doing it alpi nevuah? Is he doing it, it is a strange way to try to make a point. But the point is that there's a preference to the sandal over the minhag. In fact, it's such a preference, according to this first version. We're going to call this first version Rabbah. You'll see why. So according to Rabbah's version, so it's such a preference that, lichatchila, we'd be using a sandal. Okay, if you use a shoe, that's fine. And if Eliyahu were to come and tell us that, no, minhag is just as good as sandal, so then we'll bump minhag up to the same level as sandal. But right now, we have it as sandal's preferred, minhag, it's acceptable. That's version number one. Position number one. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. Now this is Rav Yosef's version. And that is, if he tells us that we should not be using a minhag, so then fine. Okay, well, we won't use a minhag. However, but if he tells us not to use a sandal, because again, everyone's using a sandal. Now in this version, and the Gemara is going to spell this out. What I'm saying right now is going to be the Gemara. And that is in this version, minhag is right up there with sandal. Meaning minhag is just as ideal as a sandal. Okay, it happens to be that the people are using sandalim, but minhag is just as good. And if Eliyahu comes along and says, you know what, don't get so excited about the minhag. Meaning, minhag's okay, but only b'di'evin. So, the Gemara now just simply points out, So, obviously, the two ways of this statement, either the Rabbah or the Rav Yosef version, their difference between them is minhag, before Eliyahu comes along and tries to make these minor reformations regarding which shoe to use. So prior to that point in time, according to the first version, minhag was not ideal. It was just b'di'evid. And according to the second version, according to Rav Yosef, minhag is ideal. Okay, Gemara says fine. So the Gemara says, how in the world could you entertain that minhag is lichatchila? Did you remember the mission of yesterday's daf? And the Gemara says, and I'll remind you, if you use a minhag, so the Mishnah says, it's okay. It's kosher. And the tone of the Mishnah is clear, meaning it's not ideal. So, d'yevid in l'chatchila lo. Who had in dafi l'chatchila? The Gemara says, no. You could read the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is really excited about the minhag. The language of the Mishnah. V'ay did dabai l'mitzah, seifa ban pi l'chalitzah sapsula, dafi lo d'yevid taninami resha d'yevid d'yevid. And it's the standard answer of the Gemara that the Mishnah is just using contrasting terminology. The Mishnah later talks about the anpila. I think anpila are like socks or something like that. So the Mishnah says psula. Okay, so when the Mishnah uses the word psula, the contrasting term to use is kshera. Even though it happens to be that by the minhag, really, the halach is that it's ideal. The Mishnah used the word kshera, which means kind of like shrug his shoulder, like, yeah, it's okay. Only because the Mishnah later uses the word psula. Okay. Okay. Whether minhag is ideal, machlokes atanayim. Detanyam Rav Yosi pamachad halachtu l'nitzivim. There was a time I went to l'nitzivim matzah zizakin echad. And I found an elder. Amarti lo klom atabaki b'Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Do you know of the practices of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra? Amar li hein? Yeah, sure. V'ashochana hu tadir. I'm sorry, Val Shulchani Hu Tadir. He's by me all the time. So, Klum Reisa Shechalas B'Yavama. Have you ever seen him do a Chalitza? So, Amar Li Reisa Shechalas Harbe Pamim. Yep, many occasions. Okay, remember I made this commentary, I don't remember when, but But back in the day, chalitza was much more common and much more prevalent because, quite frankly, longevity back in the day was not as common as it is now. So you had a lot more of these yibum chalitza cases come up. He says harbe pamim. So b'mino b'sandal. Knew what did he use? Did he use a mino or did he use the sandal? So amar li v'chi chosim b'mino. And his immediate reaction is what? You do chalitza with a mino? Skip parentheses. Amar tulam kein ma ra'o. Rameir lomer chalitza b'mino chalitza sekshera. Rabbi Yaakov armen mishmo chalitza b'mino chetchila. Okay. So and the opinions that are brought down. According to Rav Meir, so the chalitza is okay. It's acceptable, meaning, but it's not lechatchila. And according to Rav Yaakov, it's even a lechatchila to use a minnow. Okay, so it's a machlokas tanaim, whether or not it's ideal or not ideal to use a minnow. Umandam lechatchila lo my time. Okay, so finally, right, that's a lot of daf so far to just get to the point where minnow may be ideal, may not be ideal. What is the issue? Meaning we haven't yet addressed it. All we just talked about is the positions. But what's the issue? And that's what Gemara wants to know. Elam mishum davia panta me'al, ve'akasa me'al, de me'al, v'atara amra me'al, v'lo me'al, de me'al. So maybe the issue is the following. Meaning what has to be done is that the shoe has to be removed off of his foot. She removes the shoe off of his foot. And maybe when it comes to the shoe, when she's undoing the laces are not on his foot, but rather, in other words, anyone and everyone who's wearing shoes, you could just look down and you could see that the laces are on top of leather, which is on the foot. And maybe what the Torah demands is that the laces have to be directly on the foot. And maybe that's the issue regarding the shoe. So the Gemara said, and the Torah's instructions are me'al. It has to be taken directly off the foot. And maybe when you unlace a shoe, what you're unlacing is not the foot, but rather the shoe. So the Gemara says, you really think that's the issue? So if that were the issue, so then the minnow shouldn't be good at all. It should be disqualified. Meaning if that's how you're understanding the issue. The Gemara says, you're right. That's not the issue. So So the Gemara says, well, no. The issue is that if we get used to using a minnow, so the unlacing of the shoe is not the issue at all. But once you use the shoe, the next thing you're going to be using is a merupat. Now, Rashi describes it as being something which is torn, right? It's cracked in half, says Rashi. Again, I'm not sure what I'm describing right now. Picture over here would be worth 1,000 words. So, anyway, or chatzi menal or half a shoe. Meaning that sometimes with the shoe, in other words, because it covers the entire foot, so what people get away with is wearing a shoe that is really literally torn in half. You can't do that with a sandal. Meaning with a sandal, you have a functional sandal or you have nothing. But with a shoe, you can get away with using half a shoe. Now, the problem is that once we use a half a shoe, so that's, in halachic terminology, that's not a shoe. And so therefore, if we get comfortable with a shoe, it may lead us to using a half a shoe, which is in of itself no good. Okay. Gzera de Rabbanan. Am Ravi lav dechamte lechaviva dechalas besandal deslei schnitzen. So Rav testified that he saw his chavivi, his beloved. Here his beloved is a reference to his uncle. It's Rabbi Chia, right? Rav and Rabbi Chia had a really, really close relationship. The Gemara numerous times tells us. And the term that he uses is a term of endearment when describing his uncle. And he says that as it relates to my uncle, chalitz b'sandal, d'islay shnitzden. So he used the sandal with laces. Ana lo have chalitzna ela b'sandal d'taya d'mehadik tfei. Now, had I not seen it, I would have used an Arab shoe. It ties on better. And again, you're going to hear me say this a couple times this morning. I don't know what I'm talking about. Meaning, I've never seen the Arab shoe. So I don't fully understand, but I get the basic idea. Meaning, Rav says that, look, had I not seen it with my own eyes, I would have used the Arab shoe. It's a better fitting shoe. Now I shouldn't be using the word shoe. Now I should be using the word sandal. I would have used the Arab sandal. It's a better fitting sandal. But I saw my uncle using the sandal with laces. Sandal with laces is acceptable. Now, it happens to be, says the Gemara, that with our sandalim, our meaning, as per the time of the Gemara, so our sandalim have chumrasa. They have knots in them. Again, disclaimer, I don't know what I'm talking about. Meaning, it'd be better if we saw the actual shoe itself. But our shoes have chumrasa, but you know what we do? We add laces to them. So that, in other words, so when she's taking it off, so there's an unlacing. In other words, part of the taking off procedure is an unlacing. So even though our shoes don't require the laces, but we add them for the chalitza that she can unlace. It makes for a better chalitza. Simon, the Gemara gives the following simon for the following discussions. Hataras Yavama Sandal Amrav Yudam Rav. Hitaras Yavama Lashok Bishmitas Rava Ekev. Now, this is classic Gemara. At what point at the removal is she now considered a chalutza? In other words, the removal of the shoe, right? Like, when is that moment, right? The definition of halacha. This is like textbook. When is the moment where she's considered a chalutza? So when the heel comes out. So once the heel comes out, that already now is, it gives her the status of a chalutza. Now again, there are other parts of the chalitza process. There's the spinning and there's the amira. But in other words, vis-a-vis the removal of the shoe, that's the moment. So, meitzvei, hutra v'tzuas menav sandal, osha shamat rav rego chalitza sapsula. Once you remove the straps of either the menav sandal or the majority of the foot comes out, but he's taking it out, so that's no good. Meaning she's got to take it off. So, but anyway, time and deshamet who hashamtehi chalitza sakshira rova regal in rova ekev lo. It sounds like that you have to remove the majority of the foot. Now, the issue with the bray says that he removed it, she didn't remove it. But in other words, but if done correctly, where she removed it, you have to remove the majority of the foot, not the majority of the heel, like we just got done saying. So the Gemara says lo heinu rova regal heinu rova ekev. No, that's what we meant. Meaning when the Braisa says Rova Regal, it means Rova Ekev. Why? So here the Gemara now talks about a little bit of PT, a little physical therapy. Because when you're putting your weight on your foot, where's that weight going on? It's going on the heel. So since the heel is basically the Ikar, that is what's holding you up. So once the shoe is removed off the heel, it is considered as if, that's why the Braisa uses the terminology, as if it came off the foot, because the heel is really where everything is sourced. So as far as the Chalitza's process is concerned, she needs to unlace the shoe, she needs to remove the shoe. She needs to be part of both of those processes, then and only then is she now considered a Chalitza. So what if she tears the shoe off his foot? She's not unlacing it. She just tears it off. Alternatively, she burns the shoe off his foot. Rashi says she'll throw some coals on the shoe and she'll literally just burn the shoe off his foot. Now, is she also going to be burning his foot as well? Maybe. Anyway, the point is as follows. What if the shoe was removed but not through the process of unlacing? Does that work? So Gila Karabin and Vaika. What is the Torah's desired effect? Does the Torah want the foot to be revealed? So here it is being revealed. Or does there have to be a process of removal? So take it. The Gemara says, you're right, I don't know. Meaning, this is classic. Is the mitzvah of chalitza a totsa'a? Do we just simply need a result of a shoeless foot? Or do we need a process? In other words, the removal of the shoe. Okay, classic discussion. What if he's wearing one shoe on top of another shoe? So if all she does is remove the outer shoe, but there's a shoe underneath it, so obviously that's no good. So what she did is she was able to remove the interior shoe while leaving on the exterior shoe. It's kind of like a magic trick. Right? Okay, good. So my chalitza be'inan va'iko doma gilu karabi'inan v'leika. And again, we're now asking the same question. Are we interested in a process? Procedurally, she removed the shoe from his foot, or do we need a result? A result of having a bare foot. So, umi ika ki agavna, the Gemara says, now is that possible? As we are on the very top of Kuf Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, yeah. The Gemara says, absolutely possible. So, Rav Yehuda, was wearing, five pairs of shoes, one on top of the other. Okay, like galoshes and things like that. Okay, anyway, it's possible. I'm Rav Yehuda, Marav, Yevamashi, Gdila bein Achim, Mutarsli Nasi Lechad Min Achim, Bein Choshesh Shem Achatzel Sandal Lechad Mehem. Okay, now we move to a topic of kavana. Okay, following circumstance. Say, the woman, Rachman, she became widowed, and before anyone did chalitza or yibum, she's been living in the house of the brothers. Okay. I'm going to admit that's a little bit strange, but she's a widow, meaning, and she needs to be taken care of. Okay. Anyway, here's what I'm not concerned about, says the Gemara. And that is that, I don't know, before anybody decided, any of the brothers decided what to do, and remember, there's a three-month requisite waiting period. So over the course of those 3 months, I'm not concerned that one morning, one of the brothers came over to her and said, hey, do me a favor, right? I need a little bit of help with my shoe. Could you take it off? Now, having nothing to do with mitzvah, just in other words, she was being helpful. Okay. It's a little bit strange. A sister-in-law is taking off the shoes of her brother-in-law. I admit it's a little bit strange, but the Gemara's point is that even if that were to happen, that's not chalitza. And why not? It's very simple, because you need something called kavana, meaning chalitza, like any mitzvah, requires kavana. So my time at the Lochazina Bay, First, the Gemara starts off by saying it probably never happened because we didn't see it happen. So the Gemara says, ha chazina chashinan, which means what? Meaning if by chance she happens to remove a shoe off of his foot any time in those 3 months, so we would be worried. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Va'atanya, ben shen iskavin hu, v'lo niskavin hi, ben shen iskavin hi, v'lo niskavin hu, chalitzasa psula ad, she's kavnu shneim ke'echad. You know when the chalitz is going to be good? When there's kavana. He has kavana on his side, she has kavana on her side. Then and only then is the chalitza going to be good. And if it happens to be that he needs a little bit of help getting off his shoe.
But you need a base then, so it's in the house.
Perfect. So Gemara says, Hachi kamar, afagav de chazina nechoshishin, shema kivnu. Okay, so the Gemara says that's exactly what the Braisa meant, meaning like the way I originally presented it, and I just kind of gave away the answer. That's exactly what the Braisa meant, meaning even if we saw it, we wouldn't be concerned because there was no kavana. Now, in an alternative version of this discussion, the Gemara goes in the other direction, meaning if it happened, we're going to be concerned that maybe they did have kavana. Now, even without kavana, here's what could be of her removal of his shoe. Even without kavana, is she a chalutza? No. Did it have some effect? Yes. In that, at that point in time, none of the brothers now are eligible to do either yibam or chalitza to her. Meaning a mindless act of chalitza is not going to release her, but it will disqualify her. Okay. Now, in the second version, why should that be? Why should it have any effect whatsoever? Here's a guess of mine. Maybe because kavana obviously is something you can't see. Meaning kavana is an intent. Maybe, even though they're saying there was no kavana, maybe there was some kavana. Maybe that's the issue. Danny's point, which I'm now going to highlight and emphasize, if there's no Beis Din, how can we qualify it as anything without a Beis Din? That part's a little bit confusing to me. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Sandal tafar bepishon in chotzimbal. If you have your sandal that was stitched together with linen, now, I say stitched together. Does that mean that the parts of the sandal were actually stitched together? Does it mean that linen was used as part of the actual straps? And a little bit unclear. And you could look at Rashi over here. Rashi offers two pshatim. Anyway, so shenemar ve'ana lech tachash. The shoe has to be made up of leather. It needs to be a leather shoe. Again, I'm using the word shoe now. I should go back to sandal, because sandal is what's preferred. Okay, so, but it needs to be made out of leather. Tachash. Tachash is one of those fantastic animals that are described in the Torah. The Gemara spends a lot of time elsewhere going over what exactly the tachash is. Anyway, regardless, it's an animal, and the hide of it is what you and I would call leather. So the Gemara says, well, once we have the pasuk Yecheskel, maybe there's a requirement to use tachash hide. So the Gemara says, and only tachash hide. So the Gemara says, nal riba. No, because the Torah keeps using the word na'al, So that means that it doesn't have to be specifically the hide of a tachash, could be the hide of other animals as well. Inal nal riba, if you'll call me lenami, the Gemara says, well, once we have a ribui, so why don't we just simply say that the material is immaterial? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm here. So the, I was waiting all morning. So the, so maybe the ribui should tell us that you could use any material. So im kein tachash maya hanilei. So the Gemara says, no. No, tachash is there to instruct and inform. And it means that it needs to be hide. Now again, so we have it's a classic balancing act of the Gemara, where I have the definitional tachash, but I also have the ribui. So, right, the Gemara straddles, the second pun in a row. So the Gemara straddles between the two, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it has to be a shoe made up of a hide. Not specifically the hide of the tachash, but a hide. Rabbeinu Tam writes over here that because the Gemara uses the words tachash, it has to be the hide of a kosher animal. Now, most of the hides on the shoes that we're wearing, probably all the hides of the shoe that we're wearing is coming from a kosher, non-kosher animal? Oh, kosher. Okay, fine. Okay, so I guess we're good. Anyway, but Tosos doesn't accept that. Tosos says that no. The only thing that's required is that it has to be hide, but it doesn't have to be the hide of a kosher animal. Okay, anyway. Let's say the shoe is made up of leather, but the laces are made up of the hair, the animal hairs. So Amrle Milo Karinan Milo Karinan Beva Analech Tachash. That's a shoe. So I Hachi Kulo Shall Say Ar Nami. The Gemara says, well, what if the entire shoe is made up of hair? Are you okay with that? So how krak amikre? So the Gemara says, no, that's something else. It's called the krak. Okay? I don't think the Gemara is making reference to
the original krak.
I know, the original krak. I don't think the Gemara is making reference to our, you know, one of our favorite foot implements. Okay? Okay. Anyway, it's not a krak is not a shoe. Okay. For all those administrating in a school and you don't want the kids to wear Crocs, so you open up to Yavama staff, Kuf Beis Amid Beis. It's not a shoe. Okay, good. So Amalei Rav Kahana Shmuel Mimai Dahai V'chatzan Alam Mi'al Raglo Mishlevu. Okay, and this is going to be our last topic for today. Ooh. This is going to be our last topic for today, and that is the following. We assume that it's a shoe removal because the Torah says the word chaltsa, and we assume that it means to remove. So what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to cite a number of psukim that would seem to indicate that there could be dual meanings to the word chalitza. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema zeruzehu. Maybe it doesn't mean to take off the shoe. Maybe it means to put on the shoe. How do I know that? Dichsiv. Let's take a look at some psukim together. Hey, chaltzum itchem anashim letzava. So you must conscript people, soldiers for the army, for the war. Okay, so this is one of our first campaigns in the Midbar, where we go to war against Midian, and a conscription. Hey, chaltzum itchem. Now, here's how the Gemara is trying to translate the pasuk right now. Take the soldiers and put them into place. Oh. So the Gemara says, no. Hasamnam, mishlufim mebesa lekrava. So the Gemara says, no. The pshat in the pasuk is, remove them from their house so that they can go to war. Okay. So v'haksiv yechaleitz ani be'anyav. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the pasuk in Iyov? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yechaleitz ani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the poor and helping him, strengthening him. So the Gemara says, no. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is removing the Ani from Gehenim. Okay. That's how we could translate the pasuk. Admittedly, that's a difficult translation. Hadichsiv chonem alach Hashem saviv le'rea v'chaltseim. Pasuk in Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu encircles with malachim and now v'chaltseim. So again, strengthening him, giving him strength. So the Gemara says, no, Bishar Yerev Yechaltsim Yidin Shul Gehenim. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu is removing him from Gehenim. So Allah Hadichsiv Ve'atzmosecha Yachalitz. As far as your bones are concerned, I'm going to fortify them. V'am Rav Elazar Zum Elusha Be'brachos. And Rav Elazar says, of all the brachos that one could receive, this is the best of the brachos. Okay, an interesting description of this bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu strengthens our bones. Okay. So V'am Rav Zruzi Garmei. So the Gemara says, and Rava says, it's talking about the fortification of our bones. So here we go. Okay, so you see clearly the word chalitza. Yeah, probably. Right. I didn't spell it out, but Ben's right. In other words, it's probably a reference to Tchias HaMesim. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, in. So Gemara finally concedes. There are dual meanings to the word chalitza. So mashmahachi, mashmahachi. So sometimes it means to take off, sometimes it means to instill or to insert. Okay, you're right. And so what am I going to do in terms of figuring out the definition? It's what we always do. Context. So na'alo biraglo. And over here, the context that's going to be clear is it's a preposition, specifically in front of the word regal. So if it meant putting the shoe on, the Torah would have said biraglo. So he calls Rachman biraglo, havamina biraglo in b'shokalo. The Gemara says, no. It can't say biraglo because had the Torah said the word biraglo, I would have assumed that there must be a foot. We're going to discuss later in this parak that let's say there's no foot, but there's a stump. But the stump goes below the knee. So that's acceptable. But if the Torah would have written the word biraglo, I would have thought it's unacceptable. So Gemara says, no. Kasa rechmana me'al raglo. De afilu bishoko. That's why the Torah has to say me'al raglo. Meaning even if there isn't a foot, but there's a stump, that's acceptable.
Is it a shoe on the stump or is that prosthetic? No.
We'll see the Gemara later on. It sounds like the shoe is going to go directly on the stump. So im kein lichter rechmana bim me'al raglo. My me'al raglo shma mina mishlafu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but grammatically, from a syntax standpoint, the Torah could have said bim me'al raglo, but it says me'al raglo. So there, the prefix me is telling us from the foot, meaning it's a removal. So amrle awumina le rabbi gamlio, and we finish off with the following. So the conversations between heretics and rabbi gamlio. The Gemara is replete with these kinds of conversations. The conversations are on the surface silly, and obviously they are latent with meaning. So over here, the heretic says to Rabbi Gamliel, "Amad chalitz le'mara mine. Kadosh Baruch Hu did chalitza from you." Like a lot of the basic conversations are, Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, they broke up, right? And Kadosh Baruch Hu chose another nation to be his representatives in this world. Okay. Other religions have made such claims. Good. So dichsiv bitsonam bivkarim yechulu vakesh es Hashem v'leimatzu chalatz mehem. So amar le shota. So Avraham Gamliel says to the heretic, you're such an idiot. So miksiv chalatz lahem chalatz mehem ksiv ilu yivama de chalza achin midem shashis bay. Yeah, you know what? If we were to take your image literally, meaning what does it say? It says that the husband did chalitza, meaning in the mashal, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the husband, we're the wife, and the husband did chalitza. Let me ask you a question. In the world of Yibum, if he did chalitza to her, is that meaningful or meaningless? It's meaningless. It has, in other words, the procedure requires she do chalitza, she remove the shoe off of his foot. So even as you're reading that pasuk from Hosea, where Hashem did chalitza, even if that were true, that doesn't have meaning to it. There's no that's insignificant halachically. So your comment, your argument is a silly comment. Okay, so again, there's latent meaning behind that discussion, the dialogue, but we're good just with the basic back and forth between Rabbi Gamliel and the heretic. Let's quickly recap our daf today. The number of dayanim you need. Yesterday's conclusion was 3. Today we learned, yeah, but bring another 2. Why? Pirsum hamilsa. Because there needs to be a publicity of the procedure. I offered a suggestion why that should be by chalitza, that there's this idea of pirsum. Okay, and by the way, that's the requirement. The requirement is to have five. 3 for the beis din, and then 2 just for pirsum. A discussion regarding whether sandals clearly preferred and that was used, is a minhag acceptable? The conclusion of the Gemara seems to be yes, but not prefer.
Rabbi, why does it say Mikrash Modi Israel Bekhalus Hanal if sandal is preferred?
Right. The Torah's language is minhag. And that could lead to the tension that we see in today's daf. Meaning in terms of, in other words, the minhag is sandal. Meaning in, for whatever reason. I'm proposing maybe because sandal was just structurally better. But I don't know. That's just a guess on my part. But you're right. The Torah itself is definitely describing a minhag. All right, 100% correct. Okay, and finally, I'm sorry. So with the a long discussion on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph is whether or not a minhag should be used at all. In other words, is it ideal? The back and forth in the Gemara sounds like from the conclusion it's not ideal. some really technical questions regarding the straps of the sandal. Anyway, how much of the foot needs to come out? So the heel needs to come out. Okay, that's what we learned on the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. And finally, the big question on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph to the top of Kuf Beis Amud Beis: are we interested in the result of the foot becoming bare, or are we interested more in the process? Okay, and the Gemara deliberates that very point, and and Kavana, how significant is Kavana in the whole procedure? The Gemara also equivocates on whether if a chalitza was done without Kavana, is that going to have any effect? Two versions of that discussion. In version number one, no effect. In version number two, a small effect in that it disqualifies all the other brothers to do chalitza, to be able to do anything. The shoe has to be made up of an animal hide. That part's clear. What if it's made up of animal hair? Unacceptable. And finally, how do I know that chalitza is a reference to the shoe removal? Right. So the Gemara says context.
Adkan. What happens to that shoe?